numbers of you are visiting today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Brian is going to read our main verse, Exodus 3, 1 through 10. Get some more verses. Lem, Exodus 3, 2 and 3. Nate, Exodus 3, 10. Anthony, Colossians 1, 1. Eli, Exodus 3, 7. David Sanchez, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29. Will, Exodus 3, verse 2. That's the first time. Zach, Exodus 3, 2, the second time. And let's see where we are. Jordan is going to read Deuteronomy 33, 16. I started, it was our third week, dealing with the issue of calling. And normally in the lead up to conference, I deal with the issue of calling because that is one of the crucial factors of what conference is all about, is stirring disciples at the issue of the plans of God. So we began by looking at the preparation for calling, the work that God does in someone's heart to get them ready to be called. Last week we dealt with the issue of the past. If you're going to be called, you have to, there are things of your past that must be dealt with so you can move ahead into the calling that God has. Today we're going to look at the issue of the fire of calling, because Moses' calling, the symbol of it and how it happens, is of course it's connected with a burning bush. And it is about this burning bush that we are going to learn some lessons about the issue of calling. And so I want to minister for a few moments the fire of calling. Go ahead and read Exodus 3, 1 through 10.
Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take off your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, have heard their cry because their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them from that land to a good and large land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to a place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Okay, the fire of calling. Just before we get into the specifics, as an aside for the issue of revelation, I want you to notice something, is that I had a theme, of course, that is calling. I'm looking at the scripture because I'm concerned with the issue of calling, but I am focused on this issue of the burning bush. And so I am looking at the issue of calling as it relates to the burning bush. So that narrows my focus. My point is not to bring out every single thought that's in there. That's simply an aside in learning how to pull revelation out of a text. So let's begin. Let's talk about the fire and purpose for a moment. In the story here is Moses calling, and forevermore. He is going to refer to it. He's going to look back on it. This even makes its way into our conversations or there are sayings that are connected to a burning bush. The calling is connected to a bush that is on fire. Exodus 3, 2 and 3.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn.
Okay, so just get a picture of what's going on for a moment in this. Moses is working his job. It no doubt is an ordinary day for him. And it doesn't tell us how far away he was from it, but this obviously was not the everyday occurrence. He sees a bush that is on fire, and so it attracts his attention. He is drawn to the bush. By being drawn to the bush, he's brought into contact or connection with God. And once that happens, God then is able to reveal his will for his life. Exodus 3:10.
Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Okay, so this brings us to the issue of calling that that we look at many different times and ways, but I tried to remind you going into conference, because this is absolutely foundational to being a disciple, or actually being a Christian. But I'm speaking to disciples, and the issue of discipleship is built upon the idea that God has a plan for your life. That is absolutely foundational. You're in conference. Some of you are at conference, you're hoping to find a wife. Some of you, you're going to fellowship. Some of you are going to have a good time. You're going to hear and get some tips for this or that. But foundational to all of salvation and doing anything for God is this. Moses is drawn to God, connected with God, and then God shows him, I have a plan for your life. This is not something Moses has been aiming at. He hasn't been searching online job options for a man with a checkered past who's a shepherding experience, and what possibilities could he do. This is the choice of God, and that's what calling is all about. You have to live life with that understanding, I am chosen by God. God made a choice about my life. So, if that is the case then, the bush is actually a symbol, Moses being drawn to the bush is Moses. It's not just, you know, on the side. When he sees the burning bush, what's the point of the bush? The bush is you. So for us, the burning bush is us. That is what we're going to look. We're going to focus on the bush because that is our lives. And so we learn some things. We learn that, number one, it is God's plan. God has plans that are larger than ours. And so we learn something is that in life, whatever God's plan is, His plan pleases Him. Nowhere do you ever find God's plan as God is allowing you to vote. What do you think? He doesn't ask our opinion. He is pleased to make choices for our life. Colossians 1:1.
Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, and Timothy, our brother.
Okay, this was always, you see that many times Paul would begin his letters, who am I? I'm Paul, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. He lived his life. God made a choice. And the reason why I point that out is many times people measure calling by results. In other words, oh man, I'm stirred. Yeah, I think I'm called. And then I did an outreach and 5,000 people got saved. Man, I must really be called. That's tremendous. Listen to me. Results are important, but they're actually secondary. Is the real issue is pleasing God. God made a choice. I have to please Him. The results are secondary. And of course, we want you to have results. And if you're not, you've got to examine. All that's true, but I'm just wanting you to understand is the most important thing in life is pleasing God. You please Him when you do His will. Number two is we see that God's plan is to bring about His will on the earth. Verse 8. He says that the people are in Egypt and I'm going to bring them to the land. So in other words, God's purposes are going to become larger. God's people are localized in Egypt and now I want to expand that. So there is something about the purposes of God that makes your life larger than it would ever be if you stuck to your own plans. That's very important. The will of God needs to expand in the earth. And He says, Moses, you have a part in that. The third thing is that God's plan always involves the salvation of people. Exodus 3:7.
And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows.
Okay, so here God says, calling is not about having your name announced at conference. This is not a selling point. Oh, you should see, man, when they announce your name, they're going to put on the video next year, Moses, in slow motion with moving music. It's going to be fantastic, holding your wife's hand. You're going to look humble and excited at the same time. It's going to be powerful. No, this is all about salvation of other people. You know, is it going to be hot? Is it going to be cold? That has nothing to do with it. It is all about the salvation of other people. And so, the burning bush is actually calling played out in a visible form. Think about this. The bush burns, so it draws or attracts people. Why? So they come in contact with God. That is you. God wants to light you on fire, so people will be drawn and then they will come in contact with God. And as that happens in the issue of calling, it always involves a physical location. Verse 7 says, you're going to go in Egypt or to Egypt. To me, this is a very powerful and incredible thing. I have pastored in three different nations of the world what amazes me is just that thought that there were people that God chose that I reach their lives. Lisa and I had impact on their lives. At this conference is the son of some of our first converts ever in the ministry. Now he's here with his wife. And who knows but what God may touch. And so in a physical location, God chose for me to be in Launceston, Tasmania, chose for me to be in Melbourne, in Australia, Johannesburg, South Africa. And in a physical location, God uses your life to draw people to Himself and save them. So that always, in the issue of calling, is who are the people that God has chosen for you? So some of you are thinking about, you know, maybe I'll buy a second house or maybe I'll, you know, my career, I could. But the real issue in life is who has God chosen for you to reach? So here's the burning bush. Moses, I want to touch you. Your life can become bigger. Bigger than a job, bigger than a career, bigger than an award you could win at work. You could expand God's kingdom, please God, and change people's lives and eternity. That is the issue of calling. Let's talk secondly about fire and power. The purposes of God are revealed out of a bush. What do you think how great God is? You know, why not a towering tree? You know, It's a bush. The bush here is a, scholars say, is a wild acacia thorn bush. It was not big. There was nothing special about it. There were thousands of them. They're everywhere. Very, very ordinary. And that is actually very deliberate. The bush by itself, there is nothing in it that you would ever walk by that bush and it would change your life. You would never begin weeping as you walk past it. It's, look, it's got thorns. It's beautiful. Never. The only thing that makes this bush out of the ordinary is fire. God was in the bush. And that, therefore, transforms it. Now an ordinary bush is able to do the will of God. Now it's able to attract someone. Now it's able to make impact only because the fire of God is on the inside. Exodus 3, verse 2.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed.
Okay, the angel of the Lord was in the bush, and that's going to make an ordinary bush extraordinary. So here is the purposes of God. Is God accomplishes His will through very ordinary people. Very ordinary people. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 29.
For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence.
Okay, so here's the calling of God, is that God chooses the ordinary. Abraham Lincoln said God must love common people because He made so many of them. Mm-hmm. And this is us. I'm often amused. I get newsletters and magazines, and look at various Christian websites, and I'm amused when I see that it's very, very common that they'll have what I call bragamonies. And the bragamonies are pastors or churches who are bragging at who comes to their church. Right? You know, the guy in New York and Justin Bieber went to his church, and this other guy, that he's the one who married Kanye West and whatever that other chick's name is, this millionaire goes there. You know, as I'm looking around, guys, you know, I love you, but there ain't none of you they're gonna put in a magazine, right? There's none of us here that I'm gonna get calls from reporters going, does Brian Dubois go to your church? Like, yes, well, he does. So, the issue is that God is able to choose ordinary people to do very extraordinary things. And that's all through the Bible. Gideon's jars, a terracotta pot, is able to bring about the will of God. A woman using a tent peg in jail, or it's Samson using the jawbone of a donkey. In the New Testament, it's a small boat, or a boy's lunch, or a donkey. And all of these are common. They are ordinary. And this is the issue of what God does, is He chooses people like us. He is able to accomplish, He doesn't have to have the most incredible people in the world, but he needs people who are simply willing to respond. Moses is drawn to an ordinary bush, and God is able to work His will. So why does God do that? Number one, to encourage people who lack confidence. You know what? If God can use a bush, a thorn bush, then probably he could use you. Hopefully you got a little more going on than a bush, right? Hopefully you got a few more brains than a bush. I hope. And so that is to encourage. You know, always in any setting of discipleship, you have the range. There are some of you here, you think you are God's gift, and you can't believe that I didn't send you out 5 conferences ago. And on the other hand, there are people who you are terrified, and you are scared by the thought of God using you. So the common here is to encourage you for those that lack confidence. On the other hand, those that think you're God's gift, he chooses a bush to maintain perspective on usefulness. I want to tell you, God is going to do something good. It's not you. It's God through you. Imagine the bush going, yeah, I'm hot. As long as we stay connected to the God of the bush, as long as we stay filled with the fire of the bush, then we can be useful. And you see this. This is what happens, is that this is the amazing thing about us. Sometimes there are people, they absolutely lack confidence, and then God starts to use them, and as soon as God starts to use them, then they start neglecting the very thing that made them useful in the first place. So let's talk finally about fire and protection. So the fire drew Moses' eye, but the key to the burning bush and what it emphasizes is the bush was not consumed or it didn't burn up. Exodus 3:2.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed.
Okay, the bush was not consumed, and that is what was so extraordinary about it. Not simply a fire, you know, a wildfire, you know, that could happen. That was not the issue. There could be a lightning strike or, you know, various reasons why a bush may catch on fire in the desert. But what he says is it's burning, but it doesn't burn up. Thorn bush would very quickly, it would catch a light and then burn out and be done. And he says it's burning and burning. It's not burning out. It's not burning up. So, this speaks about the security that is built into calling. If God has a plan for your life, there is great security in that. That tells me that, number one, calling is not fragile. Some people, they live life and their view of God is though it's like they're walking on a constant knife edge. At any moment, they may lose their calling. That God chose them at any moment. That you make a mistake and that's it. You are done. I'm moving on. I'm finding somebody else. And that is... If you think about Moses in the setting, and we spoke about this last week and the week before, the very reason why Moses was here was because of his failure. He got ahead of God. He got filled with pride. He didn't ask God. Excuse me. And so he commits murder and has to run away. And so it is out of failure 40 years later that God speaks to Moses about his purpose. So, you know, if you do nothing, obviously 40 years later, it's going to be a lot harder. We've talked about that in the past. But my point is, calling was not consumed. It's not like one mistake. You fail to do, you know, to respond in exactly the right way. And you are over. The bush doesn't burn up. Number two, that means that God's purposes continue. Some of you are at the beginning stages of your hoping to go into the ministry, or you're about to go into the ministry. When I was going into the ministry at age 21, I had no idea of all that life could bring. My entire focus in the entire world was I am going to one city to pioneer and build a church. I mean, that was as far as I could see. And I had no idea of the different, you know, I have pioneered, I have taken churches three times, I think. I've evangelized, I have been a missionary, leadership, all the different. So my point is, each of those had challenges I never thought about when I began. Stuff that I never thought of. And the amazing thing is almost 30 years later, there are new challenges and things that I'm probably not thinking of now that still may come my way. But the issue is, God, when He calls, knows all of that. And the bush is not consumed. So my point is, calling is not just a narrow issue. God didn't say, I can only help you in pioneering, and after that I'm exhausted and I have no idea what we're going to do. Is when God calls you, He calls you to do His will wherever the road may lead. I've had good, I've had bad, I've had ugly. And God was there in all of that. And whatever else life may bring, is God will be there. That's the bush is not consumed. And the final issue is that God's calling can be trusted. There are people that are afraid of calling because their idea is that the ministry will burn you out. You'll say yes to God, and then God will use you up. And then when He's finished using you up and you're a tired, ember of a man, then He'll spit you out and move on to somebody else. And that's absolutely not true. Very, very interesting scripture here. Look at Deuteronomy 33:16.
With the precious things of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of Him who dwelt in the bush, let the blessing come on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers.
Okay, so think about this now. Moses is speaking now at the end of his life. He has responded to the call of God. He went to Egypt, brought them out, the promised land, all the wilderness wanderings. And so now they're standing on the edge of the promised land, and he's at the end. And now he speaks a blessing, and the interesting blessing is, he says, let the favor of him who dwelt in the bush. He's referring to the scripture that we started at. And so in other words, what he's saying is, at the end, he says, it's good. Right? He's not at the end. Let me tell you, if you respond to the call of God, it's going to be a burnout. No, he says, this is a good thing. In the favor of God. And all this comes down to the burning bush. So, the key, gentlemen, I always do something on calling because it is my prayer for you that this conference, you're going to see friends, you're going to fellowship, we'll have some good times, we'll hear some practical instruction, but the foundation of our fellowship is calling. That's what we're built on, is the fact that God is able to put His hand upon people. I want you to bow your heads just for a moment, and I'll open for some questions in a moment. But I'm asking right now, I'm going to pray There are some of you here that are disciples. There are some of you that are here, you are pastors. And it is my prayer that the God of the burning bush is going to lay hold upon your heart. That this week you would go into conference week, that there be something of the burning bush that's going to touch you again. And I'm going to pray for you now. God, I'm asking, you see the men that are here. God, there are young disciples that are here. And I am asking you to touch them. God, this has to be more than a program. I cannot talk them into calling. I am asking that the fire of the bush would touch these young men, Lord God. You know our hearts. God, you know how quickly we get distracted. We respond and then we wander away. I'm asking that you will touch young men again this morning. God, I pray that you're going to touch their pastors that are here, that you may reorient them. God, some of them need to be refocused. Ministry has become routine for them, and I'm asking that you would call them back to the burning bush. I'm asking, God, that you will open our hearts. God, we don't want to do this out of routine. We don't want this to be a program. I am asking that you would ignite my heart again this week. I'm asking that you will stir these people, Lord God, for whatever ministry, whatever purpose you have, but let them catch a glimpse of calling, Lord God, and I'm believing you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to open for some questions then. There are issues about calling that you wanted to ask. We'll spend a few minutes allow you to ask questions. Something needs clarifying.
For a guy who has said, you know, I was once called back in the day, is it possible that you can lose your calling, or that, because I've heard a few guys say that, oh yeah, well I was, but no, now it's, I think it was just emotion.
Well, I think the issue is that obviously with age it just becomes harder. So, There, people always want to draw lines, right? People love, where's the line? They want to know, where's the line? Here it is. This is calling. You step over that. No calling. You're dead. And I think that's a very unhealthy way of looking at life, because that's an unhealthy way of looking at God. Of course, there are, it certainly is, you know, so in part one of your question, can you lose your calling? You know, the Bible says the gifts and the calling of God are without repentance, so it doesn't mean that God changes his mind, but there are things that guys involve themselves in that make it impossible. The real issue for a guy who says, I was called, but now that's gone, really is that they no longer have any confidence in God. And it obviously is a lot harder, right? For Lisa and I to pack when we went and pioneered, I think that took all of an hour and a half. I mean, it wasn't like it was a big deal, because we had nothing. I owed nobody anything. This was not real hard to get us going, right? It gets harder when you're talking about houses and mortgages and payments and who's going to rent this and, you know, and all these other kinds of issues and the kids and medical and, you know, so yes, life certainly becomes more difficult. So, statistically, is a guy who is older, you know, if you look at the majority of the guys that we send out, are they older? No. Is that because we don't like older guys? No. It's just the practical realities of a guy he is not going to give himself like a young man. That's statistically, but that is not because of God. So.
In regards to God revealing his calling to us, I know a lot of men expect an epiphany or a God moment where it's like, I'll call you to preach or do whatever it is. My get the question a lot, like, how do I know I'm called? I once heard of an evangelist song, we're all called, given to preach the gospel, but in regards to the ministry, in regards to certain arenas of the church functioning, what is it that how would I respond to that kind of question in regards to how do I know that I'm called?
You ask the one who calls. That's the real issue. So, is every believer called? Yes, but not every believer is called to preach the gospel. I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So every believer has a calling that's distinguished from in the epistle where he says, for you know your calling, brethren. So he's speaking about every believer is called, every believer has a purpose. So if we're looking in the overall theology of calling, is you have universal calling, which means every believer should have a relationship with God. Every believer should be involved in God's plan for the church and the winning of souls in one way or another. That's universal. Then you get into specific callings. What may be true for you is not true for another person. So the question of how do I know? The simple question is, there's nothing wrong with God's voice. Ask, and he will show. So my only little thing I add to that on the side is, if a guy tells me he's been saved 35 years and I still don't know whether I'm called, I say, you're lying, you're scared, because it's not possible you can be saved all that time and not know. Because at any time, if you get serious about asking God, he will make known his will. It's not hard. So what you get is you get guys who are afraid of the implications, so it becomes easier to say, I don't know. That's number one. Number two is you have guys who they think my calling has to come. Well, I never saw a bush that burned with fire, so I'm not called. Or they heard a pastor talk about how he was called. Well, that didn't happen to me. That's why you see it came in different forms. Moses had a burning bush. Elisha had a mantle cast. Abraham had a voice from heaven. You know, it was not the same in every case. Isaiah, it was while praying and seeking God. Numbers of the disciples in the New Testament, it was while they're on their job. So, there are, I think, openness. The key, first of all, is are you willing to be called? That would be more to the point. Is are you open to the possibility? Is God, I want to do your will. If you'll tell me your will, I'll do it. So that's a key. Now in the form that it comes, that's totally up to God. So you do not have to have, your calling doesn't have to come like mine, but I do believe it would really help at some point in time if you had something definite. Because I can tell you when the devil kicks you in the nuts, that's when you want to, because that's when you're doubled over in pain in life, that's when you're thinking, maybe I'm not called. what am I doing here? You go, oh yeah, I remember. So that's why something definite helps. But not, it's not universal. It doesn't have to come in the same form. So, question, go ahead.
I was thinking about Moses and how he messed up when he was younger, and then he spent years right in the desert, and God brought the bush for him. And I kind of had a question in my own heart. Like, when you do have a sense that, or you maybe know that you're called, either or, would you say there's a concrete yes or no on the side of whether often it's God waiting on you to do something, change, to do this or that, or are we often waiting on God to change, to set up His will in certain areas, or are we waiting on people? How does the progression work? I know it's a kind of broad question, but
I'm trying to
narrow it down to basically what can hold up most commonly the calling of God on any individual's life? Like, is there any one particular reason why the calling may seem delayed? Or?
Well, I think more to the point is this, is if you if if you are called, or if you're not sure that you are called, what would you do if you were called? That would be the key. Right? So there's a guy that he never prays, never evangelizes, never works with people. And then he's saying, well, I'm not sure if I'm called. I being in the way the Lord led me. So the guy who is most likely to get clarity is the guy who is doing what he would do if he was called, right? So that's often the issue. And then you have guys who are, yeah, I know that I'm called, but they're not doing anything that will bring them closer to calling. And so that would be, I don't know about that was a very complicated question,
yeah,
but the key is you know, if you're, for my wife and I, it dawned on us at one time, is it if we say we're called, we're not working with, going to church, we just hang out with our friends and the people we like. They're not going to be with us if we go out in the ministry. I mean, that seems basic, but it's like, duh. So we made a definite change. We're working with people. And we began to do that. So, and lo and behold, God made his will clear shortly after that. Somebody else.
Pastor, you said that he uses the bush to encourage people who lack confidence. The question is, if you know you're called, you know in your mind, everyone keeps asking whether I'm called or not. Like, you can know you're called but still lack confidence.
Sure.
Moses, God spoke to him, you know what I mean? Like, I am, you know? Like, this is God who's involved, but is that a trust issue? If we lack confidence? Because to me, it scares the crap out of me, to be honest.
Yeah, you know, I suppose, the confidence issue, Nate, is that, you know, I have spent my life moving into things that I'm not confident about, right? So, the consequences just get bigger, right? So you make a choice that, right now, you're facing choices that it affects you. And of course, every choice affects somebody on down the road. But, you know, then you get to where the choices that I have to make, they have serious repercussions for a lot of people. So, you know, you move in stages. I was pioneering. I was scared, but I did that. I got my group of people. And then it's like, you willing to take a church? It's like, oh, I never did that before. Well, okay, and you just kind of move on. So, on the first part of you said something about are you called? I think that it is human nature to be self-protective, right? That's why I say, when guys tell me, I've been saved 30 years, I don't know if I'm called yet. You're lying. I don't believe that. Either you don't want to know, or you do know, but you're afraid to say it, because if you say it, then people are going to say, then how come you never pray? Because with calling comes responsibility, right? So there is an important element of I do believe it is important. I think one of the things that helped me is very definite. In a discipleship class, Pastor Mitchell was teaching. Actually, he was teaching on how to put together sermons. It wasn't on calling at all. And in the middle of it, very clearly God spoke to me, that's what I want you to do. And one of the things that was important is after the class on the way home, I told my dad that that's what I'm going to do. And it was important for me. I don't know if I had kept that quiet, maybe I could have talked myself out of it. Right? So yeah, I think it is important. I think it's important for converts to speak up and tell someone about Jesus. I think it's important for disciples to go on record. That's why we have times when you're feeling called. Lift your hands. Stand up. And signify. Why are we doing that? It's not because we're doing the calling. It's that you need to go on record. That's an important issue. So, confidence will be the issue. Is the things that are scaring you now, if you obey God, there come a point where it's like, all right, I got that down, and then God will say, all right, good, now try this. So last thing is that there can be unhealthy, some nervousness is good. You know, we got the t-shirts, no fear. No fear is no brains. You're either drunk or you're very stupid if you have no fear. Right? Fear is good in some senses. And then you have the other guy who's paralyzed. He won't try anything. I mean, weren't you the guy that asked questions a few weeks back about praying for people, for the sick? Right? So, in all these things, so the point, Nate, is that in life, God puts small things in front of you to encourage you. Do that. Okay, so if you could pray for a sick person out on outreach, who knows, maybe you could pioneer. Mm. You know, there is a progression. So whatever he tells you to do, do it. Okay. Jordan?
I have a quick comment. When I first got saved, I used to wonder, you know, I had some kind of calling in my life. But now, as I dig into God's Word and pray and grow in God, I realize that, of course, I'm called, you know, to the will of God. I don't know specifically what I'm called for, but I realize as I dig into God and begin to know and understand God's will, you know, I'm beginning to understand that I am called, we're all called, you know, that to God's will. So, I mean, I think as we learn and really search and look, you know, we do find that, you know, we do have a call.
Yeah, so you keep asking God, who knows what to tell you, Jordan.
Thank you.
You're good. Okay, that's all I have. I'll